Welcome to the Summit Church Sermon of the Week. For more information about this podcast and other resources, please visit summitsanmarcos.com.
Paul said, I've wronged no one, and I've wronged no one. Say, I know you did bad things in school. That guy's dead, and I'm a new person. And the only way that I can stand here like Paul said, I've wronged no one, is because the blood of Jesus forgives us and the word of God transforms us. So I don't want to get born again and then just sneak in a baby Christian. You know what I mean? No, I want to be transformed. I want to look more like Jesus. And we have to take and look and say, at Summit, we have to look and say, what kind of disciples are we producing? Are we trying to get a whole bunch of babies in the kingdom? Or are we trying to produce people that look like Jesus? We're trying to produce people that look like Jesus. And when you get to heaven, the more you look like Jesus, he'll say, the more this team did their job. Amen? But I want to bring you a word that I believe is going to help transform you. How many know that sometimes you really look like Jesus? I mean, like, you looking good. Have you ever just felt like Jenny, you were in your zone? You know what I mean? She's on the phone, people getting saved. She's like, woohoo, come on. Inspired, because she was full of the word. And so I want to bring you some word today, and I want to bring you some word. I'm just going to do it. I got to pray and just get in the zone. Here we go. Father, I thank you for the word of God. I pray right now, God, that you would take and bless lives all over this room. I pray that you would transform us. And I thank you for the power of your word. I thank you that your word has the power to transform. Your word has the power, like a hammer, to break off lies and false images over our lives. That the lies the devil has told us, things that we are not. And yet your word tells us who we are. We receive identity. We receive strength. We receive encouragement. We receive boldness. There's thousands of promises. We get all of these things by the power of your word. So bring it today and let your word transform us. And let us truly look more like you when we walk out the door, in the name of Jesus. And somebody said, amen. 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 So first, I want to open by talking about a priest, a minister, a rabbi, and a bear. Like, that's not the word. Whatever, I'm going to do it anyway. I've just been in the woods. I'm going to talk about it. A priest, a minister, and a rabbi wanted to see who was doing the best job. So each goes into the woods, and they find a bear. And attempts to convert the bear. Later, they all get together, and the priest begins with his testimony. He says, when I found the bear, I read to him from the catechism. I sprinkled him with holy water, and next week is his first Holy Communion. Not bad. All right. So, next guy. I found a bear by the stream, says the minister, and preached God's holy word. The bear was so mesmerized that he let me baptize him. And then they both look down to the rabbi, who's lying on a gurney in a body cast. And the rabbi says, nah, looking back, he says, maybe I shouldn't have started with circumcision. Anyway, just saying, I've been in the woods too long. All right, having fun in Michigan. Here I am, back in California, reality. So today I want to come out of Colossians 3, verse 12. I've been getting rocked with Colossians 3. I've probably been reading it for a month, just enjoying it. Like, every morning I can't leave it because I keep finding a new nugget. Every time, like a vein of gold, I keep finding things in there that are just blowing my mind, and I'm really blessed. I did a sermon about 6 months ago that the Lord woke me up one time and said, don't forget to say thank you. And it was out of Colossians, but it's the text, but this isn't that sermon. But I was thinking about that because it's Thanksgiving coming up. And in that, what I was reminded by is that sermon that I did back in June, that the fruit of it was that you would be thankful. And what I'm saying is, when we go into Thanksgiving, I want the fruit to be thankful. But what I want to talk about is, I want to talk about how we get there and what we look like. Because none of you is going to your Thanksgiving dinner in your birthday suit, or I hope you're not. Okay? You're going to be putting on some Thanksgiving holiday clothes, right? You're going to clothe yourself with something because you're going to go. And so that, I want to talk about it in that context. In Colossians 3:12, it says, you are always and dearly loved by God. Just stop there. Let's go home. We're always and dearly loved by God. If we just get that, I am loved by God. I am loved. I'm going through it, but I'm loved by God. Oh, this just happened, but I'm loved by God. And he loves me so much, something's about, it's got to get better than where it was. Because I'm so loved and God sees this, what's he going to do? And we evaluate it from where we sit instead of where he sits. But he said in verse 12, in the Passion Translation, it says, you are always and dearly loved by God. So robe yourself with virtues of God, since you have been divinely chosen to be holy. So robe yourself with virtues of God. How do you robe yourself? I looked in the closet and I just went, okay, if I'm putting on black pants, I got to find something with black. I'm like, does this match? Boom, put it on. Are you here? We're not very planned out guys, are we? Sometimes Teresa's like, that does not go with that. And I'm like, okay, I'll do something else. Just whatever. And then I'll say, this is orange. She says, that's not orange. It's burgundy. And I'm like, whatever. It's some color that's... Anyway, just moving right along. Guys aren't paying attention too good sometimes. But I'll tell you, spiritually, how do we robe ourselves with the virtues of God? How do we... I want that. I want a closet. Wouldn't you want... Don't you want to just open up your closet and go, virtues of God. Virtues. Choo-choo. Might accessorize my shoes. Boom. Putting on the shoes of peace. I am going to rock God today. And everyone who sees me is going to see God in me. See, I want to robe myself with God. You know that the Bible tells us that when we're baptized, that we're clothed with Christ Jesus. We're literally robed in Christ Jesus. When I get to heaven, he's not going to look at Daniel, long-haired, pot-smoking, hippie, thief, whatever, 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 whatever. I don't even want to think of that guy. He's dead. Okay, that guy's gone. All right? He's not going to look at that. He's going to look at Jesus in me. He's going to see you robed with Christ Jesus. He's going to see the blood of Jesus that forgave your sins, washed you. Hello? I want. So when we're baptized into Christ, that's into the universal body of Christ, the whole body of Christ. But this thing he's saying that we are, this is something we do. This morning, I put on my shoes. You put on your shoes? Don't say, I shouldn't have asked. Don't tell us if you didn't. Just moving right along. So robe yourself with the virtues of God. Robe yourself. Adam was robed with the Shekinah glory of God. And then when sin came, he wasn't robed. So he had to find something to cover himself. Noah was tasting in a wine tasting festival after he landed. Noah was tasting the good fermented stuff, I guess. And he was unrobed, and one of his sons, I think it was Ham. Was it Ham or Shem? Ham. Ham got cursed because he looked at his father's nakedness, but then two of his sons put a robe on. They each grabbed a robe, walked backwards till they see his feet, and covered their dad's nakedness instead of looking on his nakedness. Sin unrobes, but there's a blessing of being robed. Those are free. It's not my sermon. Okay. I want to talk about garments of grace. So we all put on clothes, and we choose the garments, and we think about, now I want you to think of this. You think about where you're going. Like when I'm working on the house, which is a lot right now because we did a remodel, it's like I have to tell Teresa, I have to take these clothes off and put on my clothes with paint stains all over them. Is there anybody here in rips and tears that you don't care if you get them all messed up, right? Huh? You put work clothes. Yeah. So there's work clothes. There's church clothes. There's you think about where you're going and who's going to see you, I hope. Unless you're one of those guys who just doesn't even care, or girls. And it's just not the girls, the guys. You're like, you didn't think much before you came out in public, did you? Just saying. So, but what about spiritually? The world's around, and the world, you know, the world's watching. They're checking it out. Taylor the other day was at Tri-City Christian. I think Taylor told me the story. And he's at a school, and he goes in the cafeteria, and there on a table is a plate full of fruit, and next to it's a sign. It says, take one, God is watching. Don't take too much fruit. You know, take one piece. And then there's a whole thing of cookies, and there's a sign by a student, and that sign says, take as many as you want. God's watching the fruit. I mean, if God's not watching, you can do whatever you want. Just get a bunch of cookies, man. Just take one piece of fruit, but you can have all the cookies you want. You know, but God's watching us when we go out, but the world is watching. Isn't the world watching? The world's looking, and haven't you ever seen people, and then they look, oh, man, look at her. She is dressed. Boom, she wears that thing. And you think it's only girls? Mm-mm-mm. I mean, it's only guys. Girls do that. Look at that guy. Don't even mess with me, girls. I already see. I seen you looking. I'm like, did you just see that? Anyway, moving right along. Sometimes I'm a people watcher. I'm like, look at how they're responding. Amazing. But people are watching, so we better be watching what we're putting on spiritually, because if we're representing Christ, how do we represent Christ? Today I want to talk about seven things that we can put on, seven things that we can do to clothe ourselves with God's virtues and to have a healthy relationships so that we can be thankful people, so that we can be thankful, not just do Thanksgiving. We can be thankful. I don't want to just say a thankful statement or to do Thanksgiving. I want to be thankful. I want people to look and go, there's that guy. He's always happy. He's thankful. Even in a tough spot, I want to react with thankfulness. I don't want to look in. I want to look up. So last week, Pastor Reese did a tremendous job. I listened to the word. Wasn't that powerful? If you didn't get that, you need to get that, man. I was like sitting there in a tree in Michigan, just hanging out with God, doing nothing, and I was listening to the message. It was powerful, and I was just it really brought me tears. I was weeping for the lost. I was weeping over souls, saying, God, who are those that where are those that will weep for the people that you weep for? You know, we've got to go from the neighborhood to the nations. It's not either or. It's not a choice. It's both. And who will go? Who will go? But in her message, she talked about the Ten Commandments, and she was talking about how I think four of the Ten Commandments have to do with us and God, and six of them deal with us and other people. Well, Jesus put a different perspective. Eight of the Ten deal with what not to do. Hello, somebody. Jesus put us into New Testament perspective when he said, they said, tell us which one of these eight that tell us what not to do. Which one of these eight or which one of these 10 is the most important? Jesus said, how about I give you two and neither of them tell you what not to do. Both of them tell you what you should do. Just tell me what to do. Don't tell me what I shouldn't do, because we're rule breakers by nature, and where we look, we go. It's our nature. So I want God's nature. And Jesus said, here's the two things, two commandments with it's really one commandment with two emphasis, but it's a great commandment. And he says in Mark 12:28, he says, one of the scribes came and reasoned together, perceived that he answered well. He asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered in verse 29 of Mark 12:29. He answered and he said, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And he says in verse 30, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There's no other commandment greater than these. Jesus just brought it down to two. I like two, not 10. I like two. Two's better. Love God, love people. I can do that. I want to wake up and love God every morning before I have to face people. How many know people are harder to love than God? If you haven't figured that out, we have this transformation center, and we will sozo you, set up an appointment. God is easy to love because he loves you so much. My dad didn't show me a lot of love. My dad was abusive. My dad beat me. I can't remember my dad ever saying I love you. I don't remember earthly father love, but I got born again, and my daddy, God, tells me all the time he loves me. He even says I'm his favorite. And so when we're convinced what God believes about us, it's like, oh, man, I must be his favorite. Look at what he says about me, and look, and he forgave her, and he forgave them, and he forgave them, and it's like, I think I'm forgiven too. Oh my goodness. And then he says, and look what he said, and look what he did here, and he loves me. He loves me. Say it, he loves me. He loves me. I mean, we could just go home right there, but we're not. Then here's the hard one. Now, this is the hard one. Love the Lord your God. But then he says, then love your neighbor as yourself. So Paul tells his church in Colossians 3, seven things to do, seven virtues that we put on like garments that we all have to do. They all have to deal with us and others. Say us and others. Us and others. Christianity is easy. It's just dealing with the people. Just joking. That's a joke. Sorry. You're trying to figure it out? Hello. So I want you to start here in Colossians 3, verse 12. He says, therefore, as the elect of God, I'm going to the New King James now. And he said, Holy and beloved, put on tender mercies. Say tender mercies. Kindness. Say kindness. Humility. Meekness. Long-suffering. Bearing with one another. Was that blasting one another? No, bearing with one another. And forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, anyone, that's all of us, even as Christ forgave you, you also should forgive. You must do. But above these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were called in one body, and be thankful. If we're going to be thankful and not just do Thanksgiving, we need to put these things on. There's a lot of virtues, but these virtues that they called out, everyone has to do with human relationships. And Christianity is community. And we need to be clothed with God's virtues to live in peace and thankfulness. We have to be clothed. And love flows from each of these virtues. So what I'm talking about, really, they all come back to love. So number one is put on tender mercies. I mean, it sounds like it should be this love song. Tender mercy. I can't sing or I'm not even try. I'll scare the children. Be merciful. Come on, just be merciful. You know, Colossians 3:12, put on tender mercies. He starts right away with something that was foreign to the ancient world. Mercy was not really happening in Paul's day and before Paul. The suffering of animals, nothing. People, you know, the old, the elderly, boom, push them aside. You know, the treatment of people who had, that weren't so bright, the simple-minded. Listen, Christianity brought mercy into the world. Christianity brought mercy onto the scene. It's been done by the inspiration of Christianity, and your Christianity is very important. You can be saved, but really, your witness is powerful. It affects people around you. Your love affects people. You know, when I got born again, I was checking everyone out because I was streetwise, but I wasn't, you know, I was streetwise. But one thing that blew me away about the Christians is that they loved. They were willing to buy me lunch, and I didn't owe them. I'm like, I'll pay you back. No, you can't pay me back. I'm like, what? What? Whoa, whoa, whoa. What do you want from me that you want to give me something? Nothing. I don't want anything from you. Love you, brother. I'm like, what is this? I was raised with a single mom and 10 kids. We scrapped for everything we had. I was working jobs since I was in sixth grade. I was industrious, and I did a lot of things for money that wasn't good, but at least I knew you had to make money to make it and to get anywhere. I wasn't dependent upon everyone. I wasn't this entitled kid. I had other problems, but when I saw Christianity, I'm like, these people love. And I don't know this. The world doesn't love. Right. And I'm like, I like this. I like love. I haven't really had a lot of this. My mom, she did double time and loved for my dad who was gone. My father committed suicide when I was young. And my mom was a single mom. She double loved us. But like Christians, to see people and interaction like that, I'm like, oh my goodness, love is powerful. And mercy, Jesus demonstrates mercy. This woman's caught in adultery, and Jesus, he catches it in John chapter 8. They bring her to him, put him at his feet, and they're like, okay, what do you do? Because the law says stone her. So if he came full of grace and truth, he was full of grace, but truth, and the truth says she's caught, and the law said she gets stoned. And instead, Jesus ignores him, and he writes on the ground, and he finally gets up, and he says, he who's without sin cast the first stone, and he starts writing on the ground again. And slowly they're dropping the rock, realizing none of them could judge her because they would be judged. He's saying, basically, if you want to judge her, you have a right to judge her, but if you're without sin, then cast a stone at her before, you know. And he flipped it on him, and he demonstrated grace. He demonstrated mercy. Mercy because mercy is withholding something that's justly due. When you do something bad, when the kid deserves a spanking and he knows he should have it and you withhold it, that's mercy. Hello. Grace is when you break out the ice cream that I had at the first that was so good. Steak and ice cream. That was grace. You were giving me, you know, like this favor I didn't, you know, deserve. I'm getting something that was so awesome. But like mercy is withholding something you deserve, a punishment you deserve. Are you with me? And there's people all around us that deserve a response, but we don't have to give that to them. We can give them mercy. And God said, be merciful. So we have to put on mercies. Now, I know you're going into a Thanksgiving time. I know you're going to be around relatives. Somebody needs some of this. Come on, someone amen me so I'm not just preaching to no one. Hello. We get to go around, you know, in-laws, outlaws, friends, foe, family. You know, we get to go in the midst of things. You get to be around people. You think, well, we should be in the best place on earth. Some of your families are not the best place on earth. It's like Jurassic Park. Come in. It's wonderful. Come into my world, you know, and then you have a T-Rex, you know, manifesting on you, and you're like, ah, you know, hide the kids. I didn't sign up for this ride, but you're there, and you're the Christian, and you're going to pray over the Thanksgiving meal, and then you're out of there. We're out of here. You know, you're drinking too much, and you're just like offending me. It's like, how about you give him mercy? That's not my culture. I came out of that culture, but like, I'm going to have mercy on someone if they're, hello. Yeah. Let's just be merciful. Can we? Like, and then Jesus demonstrated it. And then we're told to do it, but he demonstrated it. So you can read your Bible and go, I can learn how to do this. Jesus, you're my trainer. The next one is put on kindness. Showing kindness to all. He says, put on tender mercies and kindness. We're to put on kindness. Well, I don't feel like being kind. Do you feel like going to work every day? Do you feel like working out? Do you feel like cooking dinner? Do you feel like cleaning the kid's diaper? Do you feel like, you do a lot of things you don't feel like, but we put on kindness. Huh? Come on. Some of you are not caffeinated. Get caffeinated before you see people or something. You know, you're not kind before that cup of Java. I don't know. But like, whatever it is, just put it on, man. If you have to put it on, drinking your whatever, coffee by yourself before you see anyone, fine. But just do it. Put on kindness. And be pleasant in the morning. Kindness. It's kindness is part of loving people. Showing kindness is showing love. In 1 Corinthians 13:4, it says, love suffers long and is kind. Well, I don't want to be kind. I'm just not kind. I'm just kind of a short, direct, and to the point. Are you saying that you're saying I'm not loving? Because being kind is loving. So if you're not kind and you don't tend to that, just put it on. Put on kindness. Huh? This kindness, it's willing to change to accommodate others. It's not about its own way. What they're saying is that you put on kindness, meaning I'm going to hook them up. I'm going to do what they need, not just what I need on this situation. And the ancient writers, they define kindness as a virtue, the virtue of a man whose neighbor's good is as dear to him as his own. Hmm? Come on, it's Josephus said it's like Isaac. He used him as the example, and he said, it's like Isaac. He dug wells, and then instead of fighting over him, he said, you guys can have it. I'm not going to fight. I'll go do another one. That was your well. We dug that. We're your servants. Let him have it. We don't need to fight. That was kindness. Are you here? Yeah. Sometimes we have the right to something, but we also have an order to put on kindness. So I can either stand for my rights or just put on kindness. Choose your battles. Wow. Yeah. It's like, and he just said, I'd rather be kind than to argue over this. I can just dig another well. Just dug another well. I love the Passion Translation. It says it this way. Be merciful as you endeavor to understand others. This is what I've been reading every morning. I got this Passion Bible, the Passion Translation, and it's just rocking my world the way he said it. It's so good. He said, and be compassionate, showing kindness towards all. Be gentle and humble, unoffendable in your patience with others. Gentle and humble, unoffendable in your patience with others. So number three is put on humility. We're to be humble. Therefore, as elect of God, beloved, tender mercies and kindness, put on tender mercies, kindness, meekness, long-suffering. And so he tells us to put on this humility. And humility, being humble, is interesting. In Philippians 2:8, it says, and being found in the appearance of man, Jesus, he humbled himself. So If you say, well, I don't tend to be humble, you humble yourself. You put it on. Come on, if a little kid, if Oliver is running around, not Oliver's too big, you got a little kid running around and he's in his diaper, and boys are boys and their diaper falls off, they don't care. They can run around without anything on because they're a little baby, right? They're a baby, you grace them. Hey, he's running around, it's a baby, whatever. You know what I mean? Especially boys. Boys have no shame, right? And little boys just run around, but he's a baby and you grace him because he didn't put on something because he doesn't think to put it on. You're not just running around like a baby. You put on kindness. You put on humility. And when you put it on, you're clothing yourselves with the virtues of God, and people see God in you. And if you don't put it on, then, yeah, then people, you're revealed, the you instead of the Christ in you. At this time of the year, I know I'm talking about babies. At this time of year, what are we celebrating? Christmas is the birth of Christ. We're celebrating the birth of a baby, right? We're talking about the entrance of our Savior. If that's all it was, praise God, that's awesome. That's not all it is. It's not just the birth of a baby. It's not just in Philippians 2:8, it says, and being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself and... There's two things here, and I want you to remember this at Christmas. We're going into Christmas. If you lose this, you're going to lose the meaning of Christmas. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. So the first part of Philippians 2:8 says he was found in the appearance of man. The baby was born, but as he grew, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. This baby was born to humble himself and die. He humbled himself and was obedient to the... Sometimes humbling is just you being obedient to humble yourselves. And when it said... This is so awesome. It says in this verse, he says, being found in the appearance of a man. And this word, God is so good. This word appearance or fashioned, it's such a profound word to describe this twofold verse. And in the Greek, this word is schema. Say schema. And this word appearance or fashioned, the Holy Spirit gives this word to Paul. And schema means it was used to depict a king who would exchange his kingly garments for a brief period of time with the clothes, the rags of a beggar. That's schema. So he was found in the appearance of a man. Jesus just put on he just put off his kingly robes and put on this earthly flesh for a short time. Are you here? That's the word he chose. He came in the appearance of a man. He was a king just dressed like human flesh. But to think that he would put off that kingly in the Shekinah glory of God there at the beginning of creation, to come, God's plan is just amazing. Christmas is more than a baby. And our King, the King of Kings, capital K, King, our King, the King of glory, the King, the Creator of heaven and earth, our King put on earthly flesh and he dwelt among us and he demonstrated how we could do the same and how we could clothe ourselves with that same humility that he put on. It says he humbled himself and then he tells us, put on humility. But nobody wants to put on humility. Hey, let me pick my garment. Can you pick the humble shirt, the humble pants, and the humble shoes? I'm going to put on humbleness today. We're all like, I'd really like to get favor and exalted and blessed and, you know, have them give me a free Starbucks and a free lunch. Let me hit the free winner chicken dinner. I'll hit the lottery ticket that flew in the air and landed in my hands. I'd like to hit no red lights all the way home. I'd like to have no traffic, kind of like, you know, like on... What was that? Well, liar, liar, whatever that guy, not liar, liar, the guy, whatever, when he just like spoke and all the freeways open, Bruce Almighty, and he just, the freeway clears and parts the freeway as you drive down I-5. We all want those kind of days where the kids never say anything bad. They just look like cherubs flying around. May I help you, mommy? And you're like, and then you wake up and you're like, oh, it was a dream. Shoot. My goodness, I thought my kids made food without lighting the house on fire. You know, but like we choose to be humble, and sometimes we're being humbled is not fun. And humility for Christ, choosing to put on that earthly flesh, wasn't fun. And at any time, he could have called down a legion of angels. He could have stopped the whole game at any time. They were beating him. He could have just, boom. I mean, like Jedi stuff, just, boom. Messing with you, come on. More powerful than a Jedi. Jesus could have called a legion of angels. When they came in the garden, all he said is, I am he. And a whole platoon of the most elite troops fall on their backside. He had power in his very words, the power of creation. All he had to do was just say, Father, not now, not now. Boom. I mean, he could have vaporized people. Okay, I better stop. But I'm just saying. So next one, number five, put on patience. You've been patient with this sermon because I've been going too long probably. What did I do? I missed one. I know I missed that one, so I need to be gentle and not turn the page. Oh, I did. Sorry. Listen to this one. Oh my goodness. Be merciful as you endeavor to understand others. Be compassionate, showing kindness towards all. Be gentle and humble. We need to be gentle. And gentle, it's not weakness. And, you know, as I was thinking about gentle, I thought, how do you describe gentle? Because, and then I thought, think about the elephant. We were in Botswana, I think, a while back here. And elephants, they look so graceful, but they have so much power and strength. They look gentle and majestic as they walk and move. They will stink and squish you if you got, have you seen an elephant? I mean, like, they are massive. They're massive. And we were by these wild elephants that if we were walking to our cabin, we could have got run over. People at the campfire had elephants this close, Susan Taylor, that close to where we were. They were huge, not caged elephants, wild elephants. And they're massive. And they may look gentle, but they have some strength. Jesus was all strength, but under control. Amen. He wasn't weak. He just was, he was meek and gentle. And so, see, I always had trouble with that one because I always thought, you know, like, you know, I don't want to be weak. But God didn't call me to be weak. He says to be meek. And number five is we put on patience or long-suffering. We need to be unoffendable. If the body of Christ could get this, I'm telling you right now, it's one of the number one reasons why people leave a church is they get offended at something and they don't know how to forgive. It's like, come on, let's learn how to forgive. Let's learn some long-suffering. Being patient. Put on patience. Put on long suffering. You think, what does it mean? You want me to just suffer and pain in bed? No. Be unoffendable. Sometimes you're going through something that's, it's a season, and we got to put on patience. And this is speaking about not losing our patience with fellow man. Remember the context. All these things are having to do with relationships. So put on patience in relationships. So be patient with others. How many of you have that relative that you always have to be patient with? And you have a brother or a sister? We had 10 brothers. I had come from a family of 10. I was number 6. Like, there's some you have. You need patience to deal with them. You know what I mean? See, human patience is just a reflection of divine patience. God was patient with me. Thank God. I'd have been burned with a magnifying glass if I, you know, like when we were kids, we'd burn ants, you know. They'd light them on fire. We were little boys, whatever. You know, we did these things. Well, God isn't up there like ready to burn you with a magnifying glass. He's really patient. And when you blow it, you know, my little brother lit our house on fire. And I don't know why I'm thinking of that one. But, you know, my mom was really patient with us, with the 10 kids. And because she loved us, you know what I mean? And love is patient with. And when you have a child and they do something, you're like, that was really lame. But I'm going to be patient and train you and raise you. And God is so patient. And we get to be patient with one another the same way God is patient with us. When you keep saying, I'm going to deal with that, I'm going to deal with that, I'm going to deal with that. And God's like patient saying, you keep saying you are. I didn't cut you off because you won't deal with it. Are you with me? He's patient with us, so we get to be patient with others and reflect his patience. And number 6 is, thank you for being patient with this sermon. How do I do 7 points in one sermon? I don't know. Here we go. Put up with one another. This is a good one. Bearing with one another. In the Passion Translation, he said, tolerate the weakness of those in the family of faith. Oh, I was so convicted because I was like talking about somebody and I was so frustrated. I had every right to complain about what they did to me that was so messed up. But they're in the body of Christ. They don't go here. They don't go to this church. You're all trying to think, was it me? Was it me? It's not you. I would never say it. Even if it was you, I wouldn't say it, not from up here. I was like, that's just stupid. I got hit with a stick, but it wasn't a stupid stick this week. No, I had to repent because you know why? God said, they're a Christian. And I went, yeah. And he said, how about you tolerate the family? Because if you tolerate things in your family, didn't you? And I went, yeah. Growing up, I had tolerated a lot of stuff. Think about Jesus. He tells us to bear with one another, bearing with one another, or tolerate the weakness of those in the family. We need to grace each other. Think about it. I mean, come on, Jesus. He had him, Thomas, doubting, and Peter hacks a guy's ear off, you know? Peter's an assault charges, you know? And Jesus is like, Peter, no. You know, and I mean, think about it. Judas was stealing. I mean, come on, they were trying to call down fire from heaven. Call down fire from heaven and burn them all up. Jesus is like, these are my boys. I got to bear with them. You know what I mean? But he challenged us. How long will I be with you? When are you going to have faith? We're in the boat. You're all freaking out about food. I just fed 5,000. I can do this thing. Come on, people. Weren't you there? Didn't you distribute it? Didn't you see it multiply in front of you? Why do you see a miracle for someone else and doubt it for yourselves? But he bears with us, and we get to bear with one another. So Jesus is the model, and he's the role model. Tolerate the weakness of those in the family. There's people in this church who are going to offend you. They're going to upset you, and you will have a reason to leave. You say, well, you know, church is just this. Church is the bride of Christ, and don't you bash the church in my presence. I'm telling you, I don't have a lot of grace for. It's his bride. Don't bride bash. Don't bash his bride. You're his bride. Don't bash the bride. Let's love the body of Christ. Let's love each other. If we have a complaint, let's forgive one another as Christ forgave us, which brings us to 7. Put on continual forgiveness. I already forgave him once. How about 7 times 70? How about 70 times 70? How about just continual putting on forgiveness every day? There's this forbearing spirit that forgives, and the Christian must forgive. And it says, even as God has forgiven us. Okay, it doesn't just mean to forgive, but we need to forgive the way Christ forgave us. Come on. I just told you what a wreck my life was. He forgave me for so much stuff. And such radical forgiveness. And now I'm to forgive people with the same radical forgiveness Christ forgave me with. Yes, 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 yes. Can you just relate? Would you just put a hand up? Just, God knows everything he's forgiven you for. God, would you just, I pray right, I'm going to just pray for a download. Would you just put a hand up towards heaven? God, I pray that you'd give them the ability to forgive the way they've been forgiven. I pray you give them the ability to forgive. There's stuff that people are going to do to them that they didn't do, but I pray that they would be forgiven the way you were forgiven, that you forgave them completely. Because God said he completely forgives you, that when you confess your sins, God's faithful and just to forgive you of all unrighteousness. I pray you could completely forgive. I pray you could completely forgive. Right now, just shut your eyes for a second and just, I promise you, I'll watch your purses, make sure nobody's in your purse next door, your neighbor's not messing with you. From here, okay? I got ushers stationed. I'm just messing. Will you forgive completely? Forgive, and it even forgive and let go of all resentment towards those. Forgive them and let go of resentment. People have hurt you. Everyone's been hurt. Everyone has things you have to forgive, and some of you daily. But will you just forgive completely? Because that's the way God forgave you. Just stand to your feet for a moment, and as we close this, and just thank you so much. You've been so good. You were patient with me, and I thank you, God, for your forgiveness. I thank you, God, that you would give us the ability to forgive the way you forgive. And I pray right now, if you just bow your heads for a second, and then all of them, can we just say at the same time, can we just say, Father, forgive me for my sins, and I forgive others. And I want to forgive like you forgive. I want to forgive completely. I don't want a record of any wrongs. So let me leave with a clean slate. So I thank you, God. I pray right now. I pray for you. I pray, God, clothe them with these virtues. I pray that they could take them and just read them over and just put them on daily. And the ones that they're challenged with until they get them down, until they're completely clothed, not running around just half accessorized or with one shoe off or, you know, but all of it, God, that you would clothe them completely with your virtues and that people would see them and that we would win the world from our neighborhood to the nations, that we're to be that light, but we're to shine with you, not us. So I thank you for these virtues and I thank you for your hand on our lives. And I just want to ask you, if you're here and you say, I want to be clothed with those virtues, but we don't put, I couldn't put the virtues of God on me when I still had a bunch of stuff in me. But when the blood of Jesus cleanses us, he robes us with Christ Jesus. And then we get at the beginning and then we clothe ourselves, but he clothes us with Christ. So I want to ask you, if you've never asked Christ to forgive your sins, would you do it now? Would you just ask him to forgive your sins? Just do it now. Just say, and even if you have, would you just say, forgive me? All of them, just say, forgive me. Again, just say, forgive me. Father, forgive me. Forgive my sins. Clothe me with Christ. And I just pray for you, the blood of Jesus would just take away and wash every sin, that you really would be clothed, that you could just feel that peace of forgiveness in your life. And then every day we get to put on those things until people see Jesus in us. God bless you. Love you. Have an awesome week. There's a prayer team up here. Let's give it up for God. Can we? He's so awesome.
Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Be sure to visit summitsanmarcos.com for other exciting content from Summit Church.